This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice. Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So while we're talking about kind of adding some variety to your character through, you know, some of these different avenues that we've discussed so far, something that I want to talk about, and I don't know if there's an official term for it, but how, depending on, you know, certain levels, usually level three is when it starts, different classes can select colleges or paths. They're all named different things. So that's why I don't know what to call them. Is there a term for these things?
Yes, they're called subclasses.
Oh, really? But it's just, okay, that seems like a confusing...
Right. So it is a
term.
Specific, it's a path inside of your class. And so it's a subset. So it's a subclass. That's the idea. In previous versions, they call them paragon paths and things like this. But it's basically a specialization you can take inside of being a wizard or a rogue or a ranger. And everybody has them. And you're right. Most of them get them at level three. There's a few exceptions. I think the cleric gets it earlier, and I think also that the wizard gets it earlier. I'm looking it up right now. Arcane Tradition is what it's called for the wizard, and they get that at level two. And then for the cleric, I think they do theirs right away. I could be wrong. Let me look. They get theirs at level one, their divine domain.
The fighter gets an action surge at level two. So there's a couple of them that start sooner
than
level three.
The fighter picks his at level three, actually. He has an archetype. They have a divine domain. Others have schools, colleges, paths, patrons, that packs, that kind of thing. So it changes for every one of them, most of them are at level three, and there's a few other small cases where it's like a level two or level one. But basically, this lets you go down a very specific path for your class. And so, for example, with a wizard, you're choosing which school of magic you want to specialize in. You're declaring your major, as it were. Do you want to go into evocation, which is all like the damaging spells? Do you want to go into conjuration and be able to make vaguely magical, temporary, mundane items at will? Do you want to go into divination, like I mentioned before, and kind of have limited access to see the future and roll those 2d20? And various other things. Rogues, it's really cool. They can become more like assassins. They can be more like thieves. They even have one where they can become like arcane archers and shoot magical, or an arcane trickster, sorry, and have a little bit of access to magic. The fighter can be a battle master where they get to learn these really sweet moves with their sword, kind of like Inigo Montoya and the Man in Black and Princess Bride.
Prepare to die.
That's right. I see you study Agrippa. Or they could pick something like Eldritch Knight, and now they have limited access to wizard spells, even though they're still a fighter and a big beefy boy. So check those out, and you'll always see something in your progression chart, the beginning of your class, like martial archetype or divine domain feature. And you'll just need to go back to the one you chose and find in that paragraph what happens at level six as it references that. So that that's just going to point you back to that specific part of your character, so you'll know what you need to add based on what you chose.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just so many of those, we would never be able to cover all of them, but that's just kind of where you just need to familiarize, you know, yourselves individually with what you're pursuing. And I think it helps too, because I even had one character that kind of looked ahead at some of those different options as things progressed, and it helped shape the foundation of his character, because it helped him hone in on what he wanted to do and how he wanted to do it and the kind of person that he thought he was, and it helped guide some of his, you know, character building decisions, knowing what he could kind of naturally flow into. So being familiar with all that is really helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And it's good to have goals. It's good to have a plan. You know, this is your character's 5-year plan. Like, yeah, I'm going to be the best swordsman in the whole realm, or yeah, I'm going to be friend to all the beasts, you know, as a ranger or whatever. And so there's a lot of good things. And I think looking ahead is a good idea. It helps you, like you said, solidify where you're going and what your goals are.
Thanks so much for equipping the compendium. If you like what you heard today, make sure you check out the other mini episodes in this same episode series, or once all the mini episodes have been published, you can listen to the full length episode to hear Jason and I talk about all of these concepts together, as well as a little bit of extra bonus content that's not included in these mini episodes. If you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to the Compendium podcast so that you're the first to know when a new episode comes out that can help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.